Baker-Tilly Greenwoods is one of the oldest independent auditing, accounting and advisory firms in Cape Town, focused on navigating the complexities of transactions and the intricacies of compliance, risk management and financial reporting. In this series, we will guide you through the complexities of today's business landscape. You are listening to Advisory Explained, a trusted perspective. Welcome back to Advisory Explained, the podcast that brings clarity to the intricate world of business transactions. I'm your host, Kwesi Kretzinger, and today's episode is all about one of the most dynamic and transformative processes in business, mergers and acquisitions. M&A is a key growth strategy for many businesses, whether you are looking to acquire new capabilities, expand your market share, or exit a business. But preparation is everything. In this episode, we'll cover the critical roles that need to be in your M&A team, the common documents and phrases you should know, and the essential steps to ensure your transaction leads to long-term success. Whether you're on the buy side or sell side, this episode will equip you with the insights to confidently navigate your M&A journey. Let's dive in. So what is M&A? And why would you merge or acquire another company? Think of a merger as a partnership where both companies come together to form something new, sharing resources and goals. In an acquisition, one company takes control, integrating the acquired business into its own operations. Essentially, there are three main types of mergers. The first is an horizontal merger. That's between companies in the same industry. So you acquire a competitor. Secondly is a vertical merger. This is between companies in different stages of the supply chain. And then thirdly is conglomerate mergers. This is between companies who are in completely unrelated industries. So let's look at the why. Why companies would take part in an M&A exercise? Firstly is growth and expansion. Acquisitions are often the quickest way for a company to enter new markets or gain instant access to a broader customer base. A common driver for M&A is the idea of synergies, where two companies together can be more efficient and profitable than they would be separately. Essentially, 1 plus 1 equals 3 or 4. M&A can help companies hedge against risk by diversifying their offerings or enter into new industries. Sometimes acquiring another company is about innovation. Quickly acquiring technology, patents, or specialized knowledge can propel a company forward. I am actually busy with a transaction right now in the medical world where a client of ours is busy buying out the intellectual property and the machines to manufacture a specific pharmaceutical product. This is one of the key reasons a lot of people do M&A. In highly competitive industries, acquiring a rival or merging with a peer can boost market power, leading to better pricing or increased customer loyalty. So what are some of the key phrases, the most common words almost used in M&A that usually freaks a lot of people out because they don't know it, they don't understand it? So we'll run through a few of these, and just to give you some confidence, when you hear these words, you'll know what people are speaking about. The first is due diligence. Due diligence is where the buyer dives deep into the details, reviewing contracts, financials, and risks to make sure they are getting what they are paying for. Next up is earnouts. Earnouts are a way to bridge the gap between what the seller believes the company is worth and what the buyer is willing to pay. The seller earns more money if certain performance milestones are hit after the sale. This is usually set up in a type of formula which is based on certain key performance metrics, usually linked to a EBITDA which should be achievable. We touched on it a little bit earlier, but synergies are the magic that makes M&A attractive. Whether it's reducing overhead, combining R&D, or increasing market reach, the goal is to create a company that's more efficient and more profitable together than apart. Once again, 1 plus 1 equals 3 or 4. Valuations. We did a specific episode just on valuations, so please go have a listen. Valuation is key in any deal. How much more is the target company really worth? Buyers and sellers often have different views on this, which is why negotiation is absolutely critical. One of the key topics that also touched in the valuation episode is the difference between price and value. A company might be valued at R1 million, but is that the price? Is that what someone is actually willing to pay? Next up is indemnities and warranties. Warranties and indemnities are the buyer's safety net. They ensure that if something goes wrong after the deal, like discovering hidden debts and liabilities, the seller is held responsible. The closing is the finish line. This is when the transaction becomes official and ownership is transferred. However, this is not the end. The real work often begins after the deal closes with integration. Remember, success is absolutely in your implementation and integration after the closing of the deal. A non-compete ensures that the seller doesn't take the money from the sale and immediately starts a new company to compete with the buyer. So let's move over to common documents. So what are some of the common pieces of paper essentially that you will find in an M&A transaction or environment? Firstly is the teaser. The teaser is like the opening pitch. It gives potential buyers enough information to spark an interest, but keeps the company's identity confidential until there's genuine interest. Think of it like a Tinder profile. You don't see the name, but you see the picture and it looks attractive. Next up is your confidential information memorandum, your CIM. Once a buyer signs a non-disclosure agreement, an NDA, they receive the CIM, which is a full overview of the business, giving deep dive into everything from financial performance to market positioning. The non-disclosure agreement, the NDA. Before diving into any details, both parties sign an NDA. This protects sensitive information during the negotiation process. I do want to make a big comment here and give a warning sign to everyone that's listening. Please, please, please read your NDAs before signing it. There's a lot of times a lot of fine print and hidden information in the NDA, which will make life very difficult for you afterwards. So please read your NDA, give it to a legal advisor to briefly work through it and give you good guidance on the NDA prior to signing it. Next up is the letter of intent, the LOI. The LOI is an important milestone. It shows both sides are serious and have agreed on the framework of the deal, even though the final details still need to be negotiated. In essence, the LOI is the I don't want to call it one pager because it's usually significantly longer than a one pager, but think of it like the deal on one page. Who's the buyers? Who's the sellers? What's the preamble? In essence, what's the story of the transaction that we are looking at? What's being sold? The price and the process a little bit forward. Usually we incorporate a lot of the due diligence information that the buyer wants to confirm in the due diligence process, also in the LOI. It also gives exclusivity timelines. How long are you not allowed to market your company to someone else while we are busy? It also usually gives a due diligence deadline and also a finalization deadline. Next up is the due diligence checklist. A due diligence checklist is the buyer's chance to dig deep. The checklist ensures they review every important aspect of the business, from financials to contracts and liabilities. Usually, you get a due diligence team. It's part of your corporate finance team, and we'll get to your team a bit later. But you have a team that does this for you, who specializes in due diligence. Now, a lot of times, the due diligence team, they have a preset framework which they follow, usually a framework per industry, because I can't do a due diligence on a logistic company focusing on the cents per kilometer and the cost per kilometer essentially for a truck, comparing that to a bakery. The process, the model differs. So your DD team usually, hopefully, has a specific model for the industry which they are doing the due diligence on. Further to that, the buyers have specific things which they want to have checked. And usually there are a bunch of stuff that the DD team will do or would want to do which the purchasers, the buyers, are not that interested in. They are not that worried about certain things, and they are willing to take the risk without looking in depth on certain aspects. The purchase agreement is the final binding document. Once signed, it officially seals the deal and details all obligations of both the buyer and the seller, specifically the suspense of conditions. Usually you have a period, let's call it 3 months, after the signing of the purchase agreement, which sets out in that period what both parties need to do. For example, get clearance from all the directors and the shareholders through resolutions, if there's competition commission requirements, etc., etc. And then lastly, I want to touch on disclosure schedules. These schedules contain the fine print, listing any exceptions or special conditions relating to the company, ensuring everything is transparent before the deal closes. So let's look at your M&A team. What are the key roles and who do you want on your team? First up is the deal advisor or the deal lead. The deal advisor or deal lead is like the head boy of the M&A process. He runs everything, or she. They manage the deal from start to finish, including identifying potential buyers, sellers, conducting the initial valuations, and steering the negotiations. Their role is crucial in ensuring the transaction aligns with the strategic goals of the client, whether it's growth, diversification, or exit. The legal advisor's role is to safeguard the transaction from a legal standpoint. They draft and review all key documents, navigating any regulatory hurdles, and ensures the deal adheres to both local and international laws. Without solid legal backing, even the best structured deal can face unnecessary complications. The financial advisor or your accountant dives deep into the numbers. They assess the target's balance sheets, income statements, and cash flow to ensure the deal is financially sound. Their work is critical in setting a fair valuation and identifying any red flags that could affect the post-deal financial performance. In any M&A transaction, tax considerations can make or break a deal's success. The tax specialists ensure that the deal is structured in a way that maximizes tax efficiency, taking into account both the buyer and the seller's long-term interest. They help identifying any risks and ensure compliance with SARs regulations. Remember, always make sure that the deal works commercially before you start looking at the tax structuring. I want to emphasize, and please go listen to our restructuring episode. We never do any transaction for tax purposes, but we do commercial transactions in a tax-efficient manner. Industry experts bring essential context to the transaction. They offer a deep dive into the market in which the target operates, helping assess whether the acquisition makes strategic sense. Their knowledge is particularly valuable in identifying synergies and understanding potential future challenges. Operational managers give practical, on-the-ground insights into how the business operates. Their knowledge is invaluable during due diligence, helping assess how well the business will integrate with the buyer's existing operations and what adjustments may be needed for a smooth transition. In today's digital age, IT and system compatibility can make or break an acquisition, especially if the businesses are heavily reliant on technology. IT experts evaluate the target's infrastructure and identify potential challenges, ensuring that the integration process runs smoothly post-deal. So as you can hear, there's quite a lot of seats that needs to be filled. So choosing the right team is absolutely essential. What I am extremely proud of is the fact that at Bagatelle Greenwoods, we have most, if not all, of the specialities, the knowledge base, and the staff to be able to sit on most of these seats, helping you identify, negotiate, and implement an M&A transaction effectively and efficiently. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So how do I plan for a successful M&A transaction? Firstly, we need to set clear objectives and strategy. Before anything else, it's important to know why you are pursuing M&A. Is it for growth, entering a new market, or perhaps accessing technology or talent? Aligning the deal with the strategic objectives is the first step in ensuring a successful outcome. Then, carrying on with our previous section that we just discussed, it's crucial to build the right team. M&A is a complex process, and having the right team in place is essential. Your deal lead, legal and financial experts, and industry specialists will help you navigate the challenges and keep the deal on track. It's essential to conduct a thorough due diligence. Due diligence is about looking under the hood of the business you are acquiring. It's not just about checking the financials. It's about understanding every aspect of the company, from its contracts and its liabilities to its day-to-day operations and culture. In your due diligence, you will focus on the value drivers, essentially. You'll be looking for risk, and then you'll be looking at the health of these value drivers, the health of the cash flows, the quality of the earnings, and the quality of the cash flows. Valuation is often where the deal hits roadblocks. It's important not only to agree on a fair price, but also structure the deal in a way that meets both parties' needs, whether that's through an earnout, deferred payments, or equity sharing. Remember, price is what you pay. Value is what you get. If you are overpaying for an asset with value which is diminishing, you will unfortunately run very fast and very hard into the wall of an unsuccessful M&A transaction. The regulatory environment can make or break a deal, especially in highly regulated industries. Engaging early with your legal and regulatory teams ensures that you won't face roadblocks down the line. For example, one of my clients was acquiring one of its competitors, and we had to get Competition Commission approval prior to doing this transaction, which is a process on its own. It is absolutely crucial to understand each and every one of the regulatory and compliance checks and balances that needs to be in place for the company in the industry. One of the big things that we have to look at, usually quite a lot at, in these type of transactions is BEE, ensuring that the company stays BEE compliant when we do transactions, so that it does not affect its ability to operate. Planning for post-deal integration is key. This includes aligning systems, processes, and people. The culture integration between two companies can often be the trickiest part. So don't underestimate the importance of managing that transition. Remember, people are not always the easiest assets to move around. Communication strategy is fundamental. M&A can create uncertainty, so communicating clearly and regularly with employees, customers, and other stakeholders is essential for a smooth transition. Keep everyone in the loop about what changes to expect and when to expect these changes. So let's look at post-M&A integration and challenges. Cultural integration. Merging two distinct corporate cultures can be one of the most challenging parts of an M&A deal. It's not about blending systems, but about how people work together, their values, their leadership styles. Successful integration means aligning cultures to ensure smooth collaboration and morale. IT and operational integration is often complex, particularly if the two companies have incompatible systems or different workflows. A clear plan for aligning these processes is essential to avoid operational disruptions. Retaining key employees after a merger is crucial. These are the people who understand the business best, and losing them can set back the integration process and even harm the business itself. Clients can feel uncertain after a merger, wondering if the products or services they rely on will change. Maintaining open lines of communication with customers, reassuring them about continuity and addressing any concerns quickly is key to retention. One of the main drivers behind any M&A deal is the potential for synergies, whether through cutting costs or increasing revenues. Realizing these synergies doesn't happen overnight, and it requires a clear roadmap to ensure they materialize as planned. Absolutely important, and I want to stress this fact. Please, please, please do not overestimate the synergy realization value. This is one of the most common reasons why M&A fails. Companies believe that they will achieve the star and the moon with all the synergies that they're going to experience through a specific acquisition. However, be realistic. Rather, make the deal work commercially with under-forecasted synergies to be better exposed after the deal and pleasantly surprised, rather than overestimating synergies and realizing that the transaction is not as good as you thought. Clear, consistent communication throughout the organization is critical. Employees at all levels need to understand what changes are coming, when they'll happen, and how they will be affected. Miscommunication can create confusion and derail the integration. After a merger, there are often complex regulatory and compliance issues to address, from tax obligations to employment laws. Ensuring that both entities are compliant is crucial to avoid legal risks. Aligning financial systems and reporting structures is another critical area. You need a unified financial framework to ensure consistent reporting and monitoring of performance across the new entity or its subsidiaries. Common challenges in the M&A integration process. One of these is integration fatigue. Integration fatigue is a real challenge. When the process drags on too long, it can lead to decreased productivity and employee burnout. Having a well-paced, realistic integration timeline can help manage this. Underestimating the complexity of integration is a common pitfall. It's not just about aligning systems. It's about merging entire business operations, teams, and cultures. Having a clear plan and a realistic expectation from the start is critical. Failure to plan for post-merger growth. Sometimes companies are so focused on integrating the two businesses that they lose sight of the growth opportunities that led to the merger in the first place. It's important to keep an eye on the future and ensure that the merged entity is positioned for long-term success. And that wraps up our deep dive into M&A preparation. We've explored the importance of having the right team in place, understanding key documents like the letter of intent and the purchase agreement, and crucial steps to planning a successful transaction. Remember, M&A is not just about signing a deal. It's about strategic fit, long-term growth, and seamless integration. Success is measured by more than just the financial returns. It's about achieving your objectives, retaining talent, and building stronger, more resilient organizations post-transaction. As always, I'm your host, Kwesi Kretzinger, and this has been Advisory Explained. Thank you for listening to Advisory Explained, a trusted perspective, a podcast by Baker Tilly Greenwoods. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and reach out to us via our website, bakertillygreenwoods.co.za.